Here we are, week question mark of quarantine. We're back with another edition of The Exchange, presented by Confederation Group. I'm joined with my co-host, Blake Doyle, as always. And we're getting through this, aren't we, Blake?
We are getting through it. It's funny when you said question mark. I think for the most part, it's been such a blur. And I think it's probably, in many respects, been a positive experience. I think there's lots of people going stir crazy. But I think everybody, for the most part, has accepted that we're on this self-imposed lockdown. And they're adapting to it. So the question mark, I don't know, is it?
I think it's been a month, 4 weeks this week,
is it, the day is kind of blur. Yeah. Now we're busy in our business. In fact, everybody's staying very, very active, which gives me some confidence that there's, nothing has collapsed completely. Some sectors have shut down, but as long as there's some elements of the economy that are still functioning, there's a path forward out of this thing. So the longer we can keep people engaged, and I think the province and the feds are doing their best to try to maintain that this occurs, then the quicker we can kind of resume. It's going to be a tough recovery though. Anyway, how are you finding things, Sam? Yeah, what's your thoughts?
Good. I think it took everyone kind of a while to get into somewhat of a routine. I wouldn't say it's a perfect routine working from home or like being trapped on your property 24/7, but I think like it just took some time to kind of work out the kinks, kind of working different hours, whether you work a bit in the morning, later after supper. Like it depends on what people prefer, but I think everyone can kind of figure it out on their own and has done that, although it took 3 or 4 weeks to do, but a little more comfortable and knowing that I am able to be productive. And I don't think, it's not a saying that everyone has to be productive during this, but I think people have a lot more time to think and maybe be comfortable in their own surroundings. It just took up until now to get to that point. And you're able to deliver alcohol to your house, so I think everyone's doing okay.
Well, this has put some strains on certain sectors of the economy. And it's created opportunities. And if you look, I mean, the stock market is gyrating, but the ones that are excelling are the ones who have figured out how to manage this COVID situation. So, people have to try to adapt. And some people are doing that better than others. Getting beer delivery, that, of course, is one function that probably you would not have considered before this crisis. So people who are adapting are being creative and they're finding a path.
And it is like, obviously, it's a forced adaptation, but the people that are they aren't complaining about it. They're able to, okay, this is our situation. We have to do something new, and they'll find new revenue streams or new ways to be productive. So it takes leadership, but if you're able to say, okay, we're given this situation, let's make something out of it versus just sitting back and pouting and saying your life sucks.
I think that's the most surprising thing of this whole situation is how fast we've adapted and how quickly people have accept it, that this is a normal function that we have to endure. I hope it's not for 2 years, but people have accepted this and responded to it and respected the authorities that have given us direction. So kudos to those, but let's get this economy going.
So today there was another announcement, like every day, the Dr. Heather Morrison had another announcement. There's no new cases today. There was one yesterday, I think, but overall we've been kind of like the example for the whole country on how to kind of contain it, I guess. And we have been doing, it's not that we're out of the clear, but we have been doing a good job in terms of our community spread. So I think it's a testament to PEI and to what Islanders can do. And it's also, it's relieving hearing that there's been no new cases for a certain amount of days in a row.
Yeah, as long as you don't get complacent with that, because there's still traffic in and out of the borders. We've got, the supply chains are open, trucks are coming back and forth. There's still a possibility of community transmission. So if there's a way, and I think maybe that's what this Emergency Measure Act now is doing, is try to contain, give the authority to control the borders more precisely. Maybe if we can do that for a period of time, maybe it's 21 days or something, then we can start to ease the economy back. And I think we would be a model to the world if we were able to do that.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see what kind of, like we talked about how businesses adapt, how not-for-profits adapt, like when we talked to Kent Hudson about how they're doing an online gala to raise money, just to kind of the different ways that PEI has kind of said, okay, we've been given this situation, but what can we do to make it a little bit better in our own lives? And it's impressive to see what has happened.
And how people have supported those on the front line and how they've respected the mandates as directed by government and, health authorities. So I don't know. We're going to look back at this at some point. It's going to be a great case study. And I think we can look at different countries, how they've responded, how quick they responded, and what the long-term impacts of this are. But there's some great remedies on the forefront. A Canadian company, I mean, Abbott Labs, have had a system. Their stock is popping again today because now they can do rapid testing in the field. When we can start to identify who is a carrier or a vector for this virus, maybe then we can start to manage people's movement a little bit differently and increase movement.
So there's no wall being built yet around our borders.
I don't know. We'll see what happens with this act.
But they were, they did declare a state of emergency today. And it's not like it's to scare people. It's just a precaution that we are following every other province in doing so. What does that mean? What does a state of emergency mean versus a healthcare emergency that was the last kind of month?
I think it provides more. I mean, I think I thought that the healthcare emergency really gave authority, command, control almost to the chief public health officer and gave a lot of authority to take this next step. It only tightens up a few other elements. I haven't looked at the legislation, but it concerns me a little bit that we had to jump to that step at this stage when things are kind of progressing well. So hopefully it's not a veil for something else. Hopefully it's just, I assume it's a method to give greater controls to manage the borders. But clearly there's more behind this initiative than is apparent. And for civil liberties and democracy, that should be examined, I suspect, and surely it will be.
Yeah, and it's just more so protocol than following what the rest of the country is doing. Not meant to scare people. Just kind of, it does give more power to government essentially to say, no, we're doing this. But I think they're going in it with good intentions. We're not going to get a wall built up around PEI anytime soon. I don't think we want to spend our money on that either. But it's interesting to see kind of how policy can shift in the flip of a switch, just like what it was today. And it gives kind of more power to those decision makers instead of having it kind of like an open democracy, I guess, as it has been for the last pre-COVID, I guess.
Yes, Comrade McPhail. Anyway, we'll see. I assume it's a short-term measure, and we'll hope that it is a short-term measure for whatever aim it's trying to achieve.
So today on our podcast, we had singing sensation Ryan Pino. He's a partner with Grant Thornton, and I'm sure many of you have seen his Facebook videos, but he kind of gave us his background on why he decided to do it, how he's raising money for the Upper Room Food Bank, and what Grant Thornton is doing to help small business kind of weather the impacts of COVID-19.
Yeah, I mentioned to Ryan when I first saw it, I thought, okay, the guy's been home too long and he is completely cracked. And then he subsequently went on to do more and more of these. It's a great example of making the best of the time that you've got and the luxury that you've been afforded. I mean, it's a unique opportunity to work from home, especially in Ryan's case. He's got a young daughter, and it affords him some opportunities that may not have been able to experience, especially in tax time.
Yeah, and it's funny to say, like, maybe chartered accountants aren't always the creative type. They're just bean counters, what people will call them. But he broke down that barrier and said, no, I'm going to be the creative type today. And he'll think of songs in his head and just start writing lyrics.
He's got more creativity than I would have ever given him credit for. But if you haven't seen his videos, they're worth having a look at. He's put some time into them. They're quite well done. And more importantly, he's using that venue as a vehicle for good public policy as well, which he talked about. Do you want to speak to that, maybe, Sam?
Sure. Wait, the public policy, sorry?
Well, not that. I mean, he's got he expressed a bit of a commitment to support public initiatives, and he's done so in this case.
Exactly. And, like, I think his biggest thing was that some people do fall through the cracks, so if he can make it and kind of take the leadership role and raise some money for providing meals for the kind of people that may not be able to access the government funds as easily, or it takes a little while, so they aren't able to slip through the cracks. It does take the kind of grassroots community leadership, because government can't take care of everybody. It's it sucks to kind of say that, but it's the truth.
And I'd say, the people who are most vulnerable are probably most affected. And if you had the occasion to go by the soup kitchen, you'll see that because of social distancing, you can't even go in the soup kitchen. And people, regardless of the weather, have to, enjoy their meals out of doors and separate it. So it causes a lot of impact on people who have secure environments to house themselves. And it's a far greater impact for those that don't have that luxury.
Yeah, and Ryan does a good job of explaining all that. And we will also put a link to his food bank, like his fundraiser through GoFundMe, so people can donate to that if they feel free. So we will now turn it over to our interview with Ryan Pino, and we hope you enjoy. we're here today with Ryan Pino. He's a partner at Grant Thornton. But more recently, he's a little more of a Facebook phenomenon with his parody singing videos. He's actually, I guess you've probably had well over probably thousands and thousands of views, but I've seen one had at least 10,000 views. So we're here with PEI famous Ryan Pino, and we're happy to have him on The Exchange today. I'm joined with Blake Doyle, and thanks for coming on today, Ryan.
Oh, no problem, Sam. And Blake, thanks for having me.
And now, I don't know if you realized or not, because you probably don't, you're probably too busy with work and singing to keep up with this, but you're actually trending on Twitter in South Korea. So I think that you might be a K-pop sensation. And I think there's a couple of wigs maybe in particular that really got people's attention in certain markets.
Well, hopefully the royalty checks start rolling in here. I don't think I'll be quitting my day job anytime soon.
Well, it's amazing how much attention you've gotten. Tell us how this thing started, because I think I may have seen one of your first videos and I just dismissed it. I thought you were kind of cracking under pressure, and then you did it again. And that became a kind of recurring theme, and you've got the whole family involved. So how did this happen? I'm sure it was accidental maybe at first, was it?
Well, I guess if I go back, the first one, which was a parody of looking out my back door, a little CCR, the day we locked down and decided to close our doors to the public here at Grant Thornton, as I was literally driving home, it came into my head, and I got home and giggling, and my wife Becky said, what's this about now? And I said, get the phone, I've got a video we need to make. So that one was a real quick, it was only kind of the chorus of the song basically, so it didn't take too long. It was done in one shot, and threw it up there just for the enjoyment of some of the staff around work, because everybody was a little stressed out early on, not knowing what working from home was going to be like. So we were just trying to lighten the mood up a bit. But after the first one, there was a lot of requests for during videos. So to all my adoring fans, I tried to keep up and write some of these requested songs.
And a lot of people wouldn't take maybe chartered accountants as the creative type per se, but maybe you're kind of breaking down barriers for chartered accountants who also want to follow a musical path.
Yeah, look, you gotta find something to do on the side, right? So everybody's got to have a hobby and something to keep them upbeat. So I was always big into singing in the choirs and church and stuff. So it's always formed part of my life in terms of my family is very musical and loves singing. So lots of family get-togethers end up in a rousing round of Bohemian Rhapsody or something like that.
So what? How did you go about this? The first one was short, and then it evolved, and you've put a lot of time into actually. You're like the Weird Al Yankovic? Is that the guy's
name? Yes, something like that.
Of the chartered accountancy profession. But you've spent a lot of time coming up with lyrics, and you've got wardrobe changes. You've got multiple cast members.
Yeah, it kind of evolved from the first couple were like, just me singing and trying to do it in one shot. Because I had never done any video editing before. So out of that became a matter of, as you write the songs, you kind of think through the scenes that you need for these. And as I did that, I decided I probably can't do all of this in one cut. So I went on the App Store on the iPhone and just put in video editing and took the first app that came up, which was something called Splice. And it just took off from there. So I usually kind of drum up the lyrics, and then I get my wife Becky to think about what the scenes are going to look like, and she kind of plans out what the video is going to look like, gets together all the props and costumes, and then we film it.
Now, you have another sort of element to this. It's not just your creativity and your quality lyrics. You've done some fundraising with this, and that's been pretty successful too. Tell us about how that came about and why you chose this particular group to support.
Sure. Well, I guess early on it was done, again, as I say, just to brighten spirits around the coworkers. And then from there, a lot of reach outs from other people that are now working from home. And it really started to take off in a bigger way when somebody from Grant Thornton National, the communications team, saw one of the videos that had been shared and reached out and asked if they could repost it. So I started, I didn't realize it had gone out. So I started getting all these messages from people across the country that they were thanking me for the video, and I was like, I don't know these names. So anyway, it kind of exploded then, and once the views started to get up into the thousands and tens of thousands, I thought, well, if I've got people's eyes looking at me to watch me make a fool of myself, I might as well try and make some good out of it. So I set up a GoFundMe to try and drive some donations towards the Upper Room Food Bank, because I think if you look at the situation right now with people being out of work, even though there are funding programs available, cash flow is tight, and sometimes the funds come in late. So I think a lot of people, food security is the front of mind issue. So right now, I think the goal was $500 when I set it, and according to GoFundMe, we're at $940 now. So we'll continue to try and drive that number up and turn some dollars over to the food bank to help out our fellow Islanders.
So you're putting your reputation on the line, I guess, but you're doing it in good cause, and you're doing it for, like you said, kind of all these programs that get out, there's still some that slip through the cracks. So you kind of took your own leadership route and decided to make something out of making fun of yourself.
Exactly. I'm self-deprecating at the best of times, so I don't mind everybody having a good laugh at me.
But you've almost doubled your initial target, which is great. So people can still make a contribution. That GoFundMe is still active enough, and you're still collecting funds.
And, the title of it is Sing for Their Supper. So if anybody wants to look that up, certainly it's not money going to me. It's going right directly to the Upper Room Food Bank. So I'm sure they'll appreciate any dollars that can come in their way.
Sam, you did some work, I think. I'm not going to put you on the spot. Ryan can jump in. But did you check to see the volume of sort of interest that these videos have had? We're into pretty big numbers, I think, aren't we?
Yeah, so like hundreds of views, kind of like each one kind of gets its own number of views. It depends on what the medium you pick, because we put it on a couple different places. But yeah, exactly. So I think we'll link your information in the end of this as well, just to kind of give a little more push.
Yeah, I'm not very sophisticated on it, but it's shared on multiple platforms, and the views don't kind of come together. The biggest views seem to be on Facebook, where a couple of them have almost reached 11,000 views.
And I think there's people even reaching out to you saying, it's Ryan, it's the afternoon, the video hasn't been posted yet. What the hell's going on here? Like, where's the new one? I've seen a couple, I think even Clifford Lee was one of them. I've seen him bugging you, where's your video today?
Text me on a daily basis wondering where the video is. That's pretty funny to me. And yeah, as far I said in the I had done an interview with CBC. I had a former Grant Thornton staff member in Egypt had seen the video. Wow. And connected with me, and now we've been talking and just became friends to learn about what's going on each side of the world. So it's pretty interesting where it can kind of take off and lead you to.
Certainly. And we'll kind of change paths right now in terms of the accounting profession. So how is Grant Thornton kind of positioning themselves to help maybe smaller businesses who might be falling through the cracks during COVID-19, and kind of maybe to help them see a light at the end of the tunnel?
For sure. I think we're very fortunate on PEI in that the government programs have rolled out really fast on a provincial level. And they're kind of designed to help businesses and individuals through the cracks until federal programs kick in, just because of the time lag before the federal programs can roll out. So the provincial programs have gotten to ground really fast and are getting dollars in pockets for clients very quickly. And a number of our colleagues from across kind of the maritime provinces and across the country have reached out wondering how the province of PEI is rolling these programs out so fast, so that they can then advise in their own provinces. So beyond kind of the initial stages of the provincial funding programs that are available, kind of as emergency stopgap measures, it becomes a matter of what is the go forward plan, and how do you as a business adapt in kind of a post-COVID world. So one of the programs that the province has implemented is a COVID-19 adaptation program. And in that program, they'll offer up to $2,500 in assistance towards professional fees for developing a strategy around COVID-19 and how to continue to operate or what the post-COVID-19 world looks like. So in a lot of cases, our clients on the larger side have in-house accounting staff, or CFO, finance people that are able to work their way through some of these programs. On our smaller clients who might be sole proprietors or owner managers, they don't have the time to take away from actually operating the businesses that are operating, or potentially the financial background to be able to navigate through these programs. So this program then allows them to hire not just accounting firms, not just Grant Thornton, but any professionals that are able to assist in developing the strategy they need to get outside of this crisis, I guess. So we've been trying to help smaller businesses apply on that to get them some assistance. And then from there, using that as the stepping ground to find out what programs are available to them, work with their bankers to try and defer payments if possible, negotiate lease deferrals, and find funding.
So in addition to your singing, you're still presumably working and supporting your clients. So is Grant Thornton, how are they adapting to this challenge? Is your team kind of remotely dispersed? Are you still, you mentioned you're working with clients to try to help them with their financing and managing their operations. Is everybody still within the firm still performing duties to support your clientele?
Yeah, so it's been a really interesting rollout. Grant Thornton has had a goal of trying to develop the technology for people to be able to work from home and work remotely, for some time, and that technology rollout has been happening over the last couple of years. And so this put that on an expedited process. So whenever we decided we were going to close to the public and start working from home, I think it was on a Wednesday maybe, and I'm sure for a lot of staff members, there was frustration in trying to access files remotely and off of our servers, just because the bandwidth wasn't there in order to do it. So big shout out to our IT staff. They have quickly kind of adapted, pushed out new IT infrastructure, and now we're working from home. We have a skeleton staff, kind of one staff member per floor here that are on site. And we have a Dropbox for client info to come in if it's in kind of paper format. So they empty that once a day, quarantine it, and then after it's safe, open it up and scan or distribute it as necessary. So it's been a big adaptation, and I'm actually in the office today because my laptop charger cord conked out on me, so I had to run in and plug in to make this call. But yeah, so I'm working from home now. I have a 3.5-year-old who appears in a lot of the videos, and it's a very different than I'm used to, but it's enjoyable in its own way. It's nice to be able to see your family kind of throughout the course of the day instead of just for the wee hours of the morning and evenings.
And like you said, like a lot of companies maybe were on the path to allowing some working from home, but now it's like a forced work from home, so they have to kind of ramp up their efforts. I don't know, even our office, for example, It didn't take a lot, as long as you have the bandwidth at home, whether it's fiber op or whatever the case may be. It is pretty easy to do, but just kind of it's taking it from like, oh, we might do it over the next 6 months to, yeah, we're doing it tomorrow. So I think a lot of island businesses have been able to make that switch. So it's nice to see. But it, again, we don't really know what it'll look like post COVID, but it's nice to see that we can be functional.
I think it will open a lot of people's eyes to what can be done. That people previously might have thought, this is not a position that can work remotely. I think it makes a big difference in people's viewpoints of what working remotely can do. And we've seen our productivity hold. Sometimes I think people have a bias to think that productivity is going to go down when people are working remotely. But we've been very appreciative of our staff in that they are still as productive as ever. And our clients, had some hiccups in terms of getting up and running themselves. So that has delayed information coming in. But for the most part, a lot of stuff is back on track and rolling out. The bigger issue is kind of some of the rural areas. And we know that it's been an ongoing struggle in getting rural high speed broadband internet. And I think one of the programs that the province has rolled out is more funding towards rural broadband, but that's a longer term solution, not a short term band-aid for sure.
Well, the key is that the economy needs to get back going. I'm certainly a strong advocate. We've got to respect the measures as directed by the public chief public health officer, but boy, we got to kickstart this economy. And the fact that your organization is still supporting clients, you're active, you're dispersed, but if your productivity is maintaining even a semblance of where it should be, I think that's a great testament to the abilities of your firm to remotely share work and work electronically.
Yeah, it's I mean, and nobody knows at this point in time how long this is going to go on. So, I mean, if a fella had a better viewpoint as to where the end was, planning for business would be a lot easier in terms of how to roll out from here. But everybody is just trying to hole up and conserve cash where they can try and figure out solutions for how to move forward. You know, a lot of projects were delayed, but as this kind of extends longer, people are trying to now figure out how to push projects forward remotely or in a safe method.
So Sam, in another life, you'd see somebody like Ryan who builds this grassroots kind of persona, kind of rises up from nowhere. All of a sudden he's a media superstar trending in South Korea. Is he not the kind of candidate that you'd want to see run for politics?
I think he's in the early stages of being primed for a run. I don't like, maybe he isn't telling us something, but I don't know. Definitely he's getting the notoriety and page views now that you would see in a politician setting up for a future run.
Look, I'm expecting that there will be a Ryan Exotic type documentary on Netflix in no time.
Right, the rise to fame over COVID-19.
Exactly.
Well, I've heard you referred to as the Tory Neil Handerhan. I assume that means that you're an accountant and Neil's an accountant. I'm not sure what that refers to necessarily, but
Western boys.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what it is, I guess. So no political aspirations in the short term, because this podcast is really about economics, public affairs, politics, nothing that we should want to break here.
No.
Okay.
Maybe at a later date we'll talk about that.
But yeah. Becky is not in the room, but if she was, there'd be daggers shooting. So, no, I mean, I've been involved in politics since I was in first year of university and was the president of the campus club for the provincial progressive conservatives, and then president of the PC youth and long-term treasurer now. I think I'm in my 13th year as treasurer of the PC party of PEI. So I'm happy working with the party on building up supports to help support democracy from that angle. And someday in retirement, maybe I will look at what else I can do. I'm big on giving back to community and to the island in general, because it is what has kind of grown my career. So wherever I'm best used, that's where I'll be.
Well, you've demonstrated that with this great initiative that I'm sure just started to pass some time. It's built into a phenomenon now, and you're raising some money for some good causes. As far as the creativity goes, I mean, you're coming up with songs. Do you get stumped trying to come up with a new song on a daily basis? I mean, you've got an audience now waiting for the next release. Are you hitting any roadblocks?
The first, we'll call it week or week and a half of songs, there was a lot of easy ones off the top of my head. There's a whole raft of song titles that people have sent me that they want done, but they've all been done by other people already, and I don't want to copy others. You know, you're gonna, if you have a My Sharona, My Corona kind of remix, well, it's been done a number of times, and I'm trying not to steal anybody else's limelight. So I'm trying to find songs that are kind of a little outside of the box and put a mix on it. So I've got one lined up here that maybe tomorrow we'll release. We'll take a little different turn from the 80s that I've been on to in classic rock, and maybe we'll go a little country.
Ooh. Sam, you'd like that.
I like country. Blake's more of the EDM DJ type, so I don't know.
Yeah, we haven't heard any of those EDM stuff yet, Ryan, but I'm sure it's in your repertoire coming.
It's in my personal repertoire. I don't know if the Adoring have any requests.
Anyways, we're glad to have you on the exchange today and kind of shed a light of hope in terms of what's going on with COVID-19 from both a creative side and an accounting side. We really appreciate your time today, Ryan.
Thanks a lot, guys.
And you can reach out to Ryan anytime if you want to suggest songs or if you need support for accounting advice. He seems to be working when he's not singing, so.
You give me a song and a one key lyric and I'll take it from there.
Well, let's do one on emergency measures and locking down the province. Maybe that's one of your ones for next week, the crafts.
Okay. We'll work lockdown.
We'll save that conversation for another time. Okay. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
There you have it, our interview with Grant Thornton's own Ryan Pino. We thank him very much for coming on and talking about why he's been doing these viral Facebook parody videos of popular songs, his fundraiser for the food banks, and what Grant Thornton is doing to help small businesses get ahead and weather the impacts of COVID-19. So again, we thank him very much for coming on. This has been another edition of The Exchange presented by Confederation Group. We encourage everyone to continue washing your hands, continue to stay home, and take the advice of the Chief Public Health Officer, Dr. Heather Morrison. We will see you next time. Thank you very much.